superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Shall we?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Greg Williams looks across the way at Gruden. I can't just win on a prevent defense batting it down. I need to sack your quarterback and spike the football.
Ruggs has got it. Touchdown.
That's what that was. It wasn't a tank.
The Rich Eisen Show.
You look at effort first.
Earlier on the show, Notre Dame head coach Brian Kelly. Coming up, Saints quarterback Taysom Hill. Actor John Hamm. Raiders tight end Darren Waller. Plus, from NBC's This Is Us, Chris Sullivan. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, everybody. Our number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We're five wide today. Five wide. We just had Brian Kelly, the head coach of Notre Dame, on. He's in his 11th season there. I told him when he lasts two more seasons, his 13th season, matching Newt Rockne for the most ever by a coach at Notre Dame, that I would fly to campus at South Bend and give him a bar mitzvah, because I assumed there was nobody on campus to do that sort of thing. And apparently I was spot on.
Correct
about the
assumption.
Depth chart there.
Yes.
So keep that in mind. First things first, you know, ACC championship game against Clemson. Further on down the road, there's that. John Hamm will be joining us, the great Mad Men star, now a star of the film Wild Mountain Time. He will be joining us. He has got the, what would say, church bells, the Musburgers, to wear a St. Louis Cardinals hat to a World Series game at Wrigley Field.
Amazing.
And he survived it to tell the story. Darren Waller of the Las Vegas Raiders, 200 yards receiving for that tight end in a game that finished up in wild fashion in hour three. And Chris Sullivan of This Is Us, he's on to talk about his new album. So we're all over the map, and we're excited, though, to turn to the phone lines right now. We've been trying to get him for a few weeks now because I am just fascinated by his career path and who he is. He is the quarterback of the New Orleans Saints, winning his first three career starts, presumably getting ready for the Philadelphia Eagles. He is Taysom Hill. How are you, Taysom?
I'm great. I'm great, Rich. Thanks for having me on.
Where have I found you? You driving around the great city of New Orleans right now?
I'm headed home, actually. Just had a little stuff to get done in the facility and headed home to finish up a little prep for the Eagles.
Okay. So are we assuming you're the starter? Are you the starter this week? Is Drew coming back, best we can tell? You don't mind me asking? Straightforward?
Yeah. Look, I don't know. I know that Drew is the most competitive guy I've ever been around, and I know he's been dying to get back on the field, but I don't know. I haven't talked to him to know what his plan is yet. I think it's one of those things that in a situation like this that, you know, for me, I have to make sure that I'm preparing to be the guy in case I am the guy. And if Drew's ready to come back, you know, it's obviously it's his show. And I'll step back into my other role. But if not, I'll be ready.
So when we had Drew on the show about 3 weeks ago, he was in the workout room, and he said Taysom's right over here. So you've obviously been around him for quite some time. What has it been like for you to be around Drew Brees? What have you picked up from him, Taysom?
Oh, man. Well, that is such a loaded question that I could go on forever. I have learned so much from Drew. One, he is such an incredible mentor. He's become such a great friend to me. But I would say the things that I learned most are not the things that Drew has said to me. It's what I've been able to observe. And it's really, I think what separates him from other people is how he prepares for a football game. I was so blown away when I first got here to see the way that he prepares week in and week out. because I had this expectation that, you know, Drew's been playing for so long, he's been so great and so consistent that, you know, there's not a defense he hasn't seen. And but I'm telling you, he prepares as if it's his first start every week. And so his routine, his schedule, I can tell you that, you know, without me being around him, you know, if I was gone for a week, I could tell you exactly what he would be doing, when he would be doing it, because his routine is so dialed in, and he knows what it takes to get him prepared for a game. And so really his routine and how he prepares has been the most beneficial thing for me throughout this process.
And in terms of the 3 weeks, though, that you've been the starter, what about that? How has he been there downloading you with information, or you picking his brain or anything like that? What about that?
He's been awesome. Look, I think it's one of those things where, you know, when you're used to taking every rep and playing every game and everything, it's hard to, you know, continue to watch film and prepare that way. But, man, he kept that same routine with me. He was in watching film with me. And, you know, we sat and had a ton of discussions on, you know, personnel and game plan, and we were sending different ideas up to the coaches. And so he's been awesome. You know, he's been on the sideline with me for both Atlanta games, and he's been so helpful through that entire process.
Taysom Hill here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about the journey. I love journeys. I love stories, and yours is fascinating to me. From Idaho, and Jim Harbaugh knocked on your door for Stanford. Is that the way this kind of started for you, Taysom?
Yeah. Look, when I was coming out of high school, I really narrowed it down to two schools, and it was Stanford and BYU. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I ended up, you know, signing to play for Stanford. I really wanted to play for Jim. I felt like he had a great idea of how he was going to use me and what my skill set was. And, you know, he obviously went to the Niners while I was in the mission field, and a few things changed. And so I ended up going to BYU, and I love my time there. But yeah, I really enjoyed my time getting to know Coach Harbaugh, and was obviously excited about playing for him initially.
So where'd you go on your mission? What was that?
Yeah, I was in Sydney, Australia. So graduated '09, and then I was in Australia from 2010 through 2011.
And then you came and you went to BYU. Are you aware, because we had Sean Payton on the other day, and when he first laid eyes on you, Taysom, are you aware that preseason game in 2017 with the Packers where you were performing, that you were part of a cut-up tape for Max McCaffrey that he was keeping an eye on, he saw you? Were you aware that your preseason performance, in a way, led to all of this, Taysom?
Yeah, I was. You know, I had a conversation with Coach when he first claimed me, and he told me the story. I was actually with Max. Max was on the phone with Coach because Coach was trying to get him to come down as a practice squad spot, and you know, he shared the story with me as he was watching Max, and then he realized and started asking, who's this guy that keeps throwing him the ball? And as you alluded to, the rest has been history.
Yeah, and he also said to a bunch of people, I mean, when you were named the starter, and it was quite, kind of surprising to a lot of people that you were the one he turned to, that he had told all manners of broadcasters, from Troy Aikman to Michelle Tafoya to anybody, when the conversations were brought up with them about what if Drew went down, certainly with Bridgewater now on a different team after going 5-0 in this spot last year. He said it would be Taysom if we lose Breeze for any specific period of time, and he wanted to be true to his word. When did he tell you that, though, Taysom?
Yeah, Coach and I had a few conversations through training camp, and as we finalized training camp, you know, we had a conversation, and you know, the plan was always, because my role was so unique, that, you know, if something happened to Drew mid-game, that Jameis would finish the game, just because we didn't want to lose two people because of what I'd be doing that game. And then, you know, the next week that I would have an opportunity to go. So that was our conversation. That was, you know, my expectation going into the season. And so I wasn't surprised when it played out that way.
But what does it mean to have a coach actually keep his word?
Look, I trust Coach Payton, and it means a lot, you know. Obviously, sometimes you can have conversations and then people go back on their word, but I would say that my experience with Coach has always been really positive, where he's certainly a man of his word, but he is a guy that, like, if he believes in you, like, he creates opportunities for you. So, and that's really all he's done for me since I've been in New Orleans, is created opportunities for me. And that's really all you can ask for as a player.
What about opportunities you're creating for yourself, Taysom? A conversation that you could be this guy once Drew Brees moves on to broadcasting. Has that been broached with you at all?
Are you talking specifically with Coach or just my thought process?
With Coach. How about that?
Yeah, look, I mean, I will tell you that I've always believed in my talent, you know, and my college career didn't go the way that I had hoped for, and it was injury-ridden and everything else. But I've always trusted in my capabilities of playing quarterback at this level. And I will tell you that I believe Coach feels the same way about me. Now, it's obviously I've got to take advantage of opportunities and play well to continue to have opportunities, but I feel super capable. And as I look into the future, you know, that is certainly the long-term goal, to be the guy.
So now that you have thrown your first career touchdown passes, Taysom Hill, what is a better feeling, completing a touchdown pass with your arm or running somebody over to score one? Which one?
Look, I would say I'm still a quarterback at heart. I love throwing touchdown passes, and more than anything, it's because you get other people involved. I love celebrating with my teammates. I love going down to celebrate with Traquan and Jared as they caught touchdowns.
Well, I mean, you do involve somebody. You truck the person, and then you could still celebrate with your teammates after trucking the person. Taysom, you know, I have thrown the ball in my backyard to my children, and I do believe I've completed touchdown passes there. I've never trucked anybody. I'm just wondering which one you like better. Which one gives you a better feeling when it's all said and done?
Well, I like throwing touchdowns.
Okay.
I like throwing touchdowns. And I'll tell you that you feel a lot better the next morning throwing touchdowns than you do trucking someone. Running touchdowns.
Okay, very good. So when it is all said and done, this is the role you want for the rest of your playing career in the NFL, what we are seeing right now. How much better do you think you can get than what we're seeing right now, Taysom Hill?
I feel like I can improve in a lot of areas.
Like what? Hit me up on some of them.
Yeah, well, look, I think the blatant things, I've got to be better at taking care of the ball. You know, I've let the ball on the ground a couple times.
Right.
We had a turnover in the red zone, which would have certainly led to points, and that was disappointing. Aside from that, I think the more and more comfortable I get, and I've progressed through the last few weeks, I feel like my timing with the receivers have been better. I think you know, the decision making of where you're going with the ball and when you throw the ball better. But I would say that the progression of a quarterback and what makes a quarterback good to great and great to elite is their ability to process so much information and then make a decision based on the information that they're processing. So how quickly can you see it? And how quickly can you get the ball where it needs to go? And I would say that really will always be, you know, my emphasis of playing quarterback. And I think that's really what separates the good ones from the great ones. And it's been a great learning experience from Drew, because that's what he's done throughout his entire career. And what really makes him great, in my opinion.
Well, what about your adjustment, Taysom, from also going in the huddle, looking at a goat like Drew Brees for the play and knowing you better be where it needs to be so you can make sure that your goat, who's counting on you, gets what he's expecting, and knowing that of the other teammates who are potentially going to be on the receiving end of a Drew Brees pass, to now having Michael Thomas be the one looking at you in that same way. That's got to have been, for the last three games, a little bit jarring, I'm wondering, for you.
Yeah, look, right? I have felt so much support from my teammates that, you know, certainly stepping into a role like this and trying to do your best to continue to facilitate and play at a high level like Drew is certainly a stressful and a pressure environment. But I have felt so much support from my teammates. You know, as I get in the huddle, I feel like they trust me. I trust those guys. I know that they're going to be where they're supposed to be. And I've appreciated that. I haven't felt any additional pressure from, you know, Mike Thomas or Emmanuel or Traquan or Jared that, like, hey, they have some crazy expectation for me. And I think we're all on the same page that the goal is to win football games. And we've been able to do that.
So you're saying in your first three starts, you haven't had a single instance of somebody looking at you saying, hey, I'm open? That hasn't happened yet to you as a quarterback? Demanding the football? There has been no demanding of the football in your three starts at all?
Yeah. I would say that.
Hold on. It sounds like there has been.
I would say guys will come to me and say, I've got you. You know, like,
okay,
you give me an opportunity. I'm going to fight for you.
But.
And there are moments like that. But look, I haven't felt, you know, there definitely hasn't been any confrontation or,
no,
you know, any issues.
No. I work with the Pro Football Hall of Famer, Michael Irvin, who's still to this day adores Troy Aikman. They're tight, but Troy will tell you the number of times Michael told him, hey, you know, what gives? These things happen is what I'm saying. That's why I'm wondering if it's happened to you and you're now on the business end of it and how that's been interesting for you.
Yeah. You know? Well, I will tell you a big part of it. I will go to the receivers and say, hey, you know, were you open? Were you open on this play in the event that we come back to it? Because I may have looked to a different side and, you know, the pictures didn't show exactly if they won or how they played the backside of a route concept. So guys will tell me, but I haven't ever felt any, you know, real anger or, you know, or malice from any of my guys, man. Just nothing but support. And if there are conversations like that, it's more of an informational deal, not a hey, I'm upset. They'll give me the ball.
Okay. And then before I let you go, in the last couple minutes I have here, your support system at home. Who are they? Let's give them a shout out. Who do you have at home?
Yeah, well,
here, Taysom.
I have the best support system. You know, I've been married for 6.5 years now. We just had our first child, who is almost 4 months old now. So my wife is basically living the life of a single mother right now, raising him.
Boy or a girl?
Family.
Boy or a girl?
Little boy. Little boy.
Okay.
His name's Bo. And then, you know, my and siblings have all been outstanding and supporting us, and when they found out that I was going to start my first game, they all jumped on a plane and flew down here to make sure that they were here for it, and it's been great.
Fabulous. Is Bo the Swiss Army knife of infants, Taysom? Do we know he's taking after his daddy so far? Is he doing it all right now?
I bet he's doing it all. Man, I'll tell you, he's a little hot and cold, man. Sometimes he'll sleep well, sometimes he won't. And
Welcome to the world.
Yeah, there you go.
Taysom, I really appreciate it. I've been admiring you from afar, and I hope this is not this is the first of many times that we get to chat here on this show. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, sounds great. Thanks for having me.
You got it. That's Taysom Hill, at T_Hill4 on Twitter, at TS_Hill on Instagram, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Bo can do it all, but so can Cage, right? You're seeing it, right?
Absolutely.
Eating, sleeping, pooping. That's the Swiss Army knife of babies right there.
Jeez. And he's really into right now bugging the dog.
Like crawling over into Maverick's corner.
Maverick can handle it, right? I mean,
Maverick hates two things. All dogs hate their tail being pulled, obviously.
Of course.
But he hates it when you touch his feet.
Oh, boy. Oh, no. So that's all he can touch right now.
Right. And so he's just kind of Sarah's super worried he's going to snap at him.
No. Maverick's a sweet, sweet, sweet creature.
For sure.
But you understand what I'm saying? Like, you're a receiver, and you're looking at Drew Brees like, okay, what's the play? I need to be here. This is my mindset. No, now you're the guy giving the play, and now you're expecting something of your teammates who are maybe saying, how about a little something for the effort, like a football?
Yeah.
And, you know.
I'm open.
It seems it's all very healthy and wonderful there right now. And he's 3-0. And if he goes 4-0, that means he's pulling a Bridgewater. You know, it's not 5-0, but not losing with Breeze out. Man, what a season. What a world.
Things are good, man.
Take a break. John Hamm, the actor John Hamm, coming up next. Good thing he's not on camera. Just on the phone.
Tough two shot.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. So the curve gets a little steeper for the Bills and the Steelers, respectively. They're playing each other on Sunday Night Football, 7 Eastern time. Mike Tirico and the gang with Football Night in America on NBC. Steelers fresh off of their first loss of the season to the Washington football team. The Bills fresh off of flying into Arizona and beating the 49ers there.
Yeah, that's a huge game.
That is what we call a huge Week 14 Sunday night game. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, that's 1-3 in the standings, in the AFC standings. 2-6, Kansas City plays Miami. 7-8, Colts plays Raiders, right there on the old razor's edge of wild card. And also, as we say here on the Rich Eisen Show, sniffing it. Teams that are on the outside looking and aren't in the hunt, oh, please. They're sniffing it, and the it being the playoffs, okay?
Oh, yeah.
I don't mean to be so edgy about it. And then Monday Night Football, the 5-seed plays the 9-seed, Browns v. Ravens. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show with our radio networks rejoining us, which means it's now time to turn back to the guest line. One of my favorites. I've known this man for quite some time. Last time I saw him was at the NFL Honors at the Super Bowl. Feels like 19 years ago. It was great to see this guy then, and it'll be great to see him in Wild Mountain Time. Available in theaters and on demand this very Friday, December 11th, with Emily Blunt, Jamie Dornan, Christopher Walken, and this man, John Hamm. How are you, John?
Hey-o! What a nice tee-up. That was amazing.
John, it's what I do for a living. You know what I mean? It's what I do for a living.
You do it well.
Tee it up and set it up and do all of that stuff.
I guess it's a good segue for me to promote my new job.
Yes.
Defensive coordinator for the New York Jets.
Hey,
John Hamm is going to be bringing the heat when appropriate, not say, you know, when the heat
not
was
say
just
when
brought.
The only thing that could beat you is to be beat deep on a double move that you fight on somehow. I don't know. I'm sure that's been dissected backwards and forwards.
Yes.
We've got football on Tuesday afternoons. The world is upside down, you guys.
They literally, like, yep. You have to think about it, John. If the Jets had taken all 11 of their defenders and lied them down on the goal line, head to, you know,
they win the game.
Toe to head, they, just in case, Henry Ruggs would have had to maybe trip over them, you know, and he would have been out of
the game.
You know what I mean? Just that would have been a better defensive posture, I think.
It was a curious call. it begs the question, how bad do you want a quarterback from Clemson?
Well, I can answer that question, John, badly. Very, very badly.
Clearly,
yes.
I don't know. The world's upside down. You said it correctly, Rich. It seems like the Super Bowl, which was less than a year ago,
right,
seemed like it was in the 40s.
I know. But that was a fun night. I mean, and it's not your first NFL Honors rodeo as well. You know, you've been around a lot of people of note in your lifetime, John, but that is pretty cool to be back there, right, for an NFL Honors?
Yeah, it's always cool to meet those guys, and especially when you get the, like, young guys and how wide-eyed and amazed they all are. And weirdly enough, Zeke Elliott, who I had never met before, although we did go to the same high school, I got to meet him that night and to ask him how it felt to be the second most popular person from our high school.
And how do you take that one?
He got a chuckle out of that. So I thought that was nice. We both won the same amount of championships, so I feel like we're good.
Now, was that a courtesy chuckle, or did he really find that funny, do you think, John?
I mean, I'm going to go with he really thought it was funny.
Okay. So I remember
back out of the conversation very quickly.
Yes, because I remember Kyler Murray was back there, Peyton Manning was back there. I mean, everyone was back there.
Yeah, we had Favre was there. It's such a good group. It feels like you're kind of crashing a really cool summer camp reunion of a camp that you no business.
and then it's time for you to actually, you know, go out on stage, and you're like, really, do I have to go? Because you just don't want to leave that room. Yeah. You know, it's so cool back there.
Well, the weird thing is, like, as soon as, like, the state, like, going out and presenting,
yes,
that's when I'm like, oh, I feel fine doing this. And that's when all of the athletes start going, like, oh, I'm not really comfortable talking in front of people. And you're like, well, don't worry about it. I got this part. You do the part where you throw the ball and you block and you tackle, and I'll do this.
John Hamm here on the Rich Eisen Show. Do you? I ask you this. I forget it. Are you a Cardinals guy? Like, still in Arizona, or because of the St. Louis thing, or do you have a football team? Is it the Broncos or something like that? I'm trying to remember what you told me once.
I confronted Roger Goodell once.
Okay,
As we've all imagined in our minds, yes. Doing. I said, you know, you've successfully taken two franchises from my city. Mm-hmm. And I want retribution. So my retribution is simply rooting for the Chiefs. I've just pushed it to the west side of the state. Most people don't realize this, but Kansas City is in fact in Missouri, and I can do that with impunity. And the fact that they're super good right now has nothing to do with my allegiance.
That's what I was going to say. Is like, did you make that maneuver? You know. When? I mean, you got to make sure here.
I mean, it didn't hurt that Mahomes exploded right around the time I was decided to become a Chiefs fan. It certainly didn't hurt. And who doesn't like Andy Reid? I mean, come on.
I know.
So I guess it's a combination.
Well, you know, and again, your St. Louis credentials are rock solid, John. There's no doubt about that. And I'd like to bring up one thing that we talked about the last time here on the new audience for the show here on Peacock, is you rocking a St. Louis Cardinals baseball hat to a World Series game at Wrigley Field. And how did that go for you, John, that night?
Well, it was a controversial statement for some people. I didn't really mean anything by it other than I certainly wasn't going to wear a Cubs hat. I needed a hat.
Yes.
And I wasn't going to wear an Indian's. I mean, what hat? I explained it to quite a few Cubs fans on the day who, when, you know, like most things, it's easy to get your dander up when you're screaming anonymously on the radio or in a comment section. But when you speak to somebody in person, you generally, you know, the cooler heads prevail. So in person, when I spoke to people, it was, well, of course you're going to wear your Cardinal fan. That's fine. We're very happy for you. With the exception of one very particular Cubs fan who took my hat off and threw it over the wall and into the alley of the bar that we were all in. And that Cubs fan was Bill Murray.
Okay. Now then, when did you realize it was Bill Murray? Did you have like a flash of indignity and like
the fisticuffs
coming?
I was very aware Philly was there because I was it was after game five, which they won. And we were myself, Joel Murray, who was a co-star on Mad Men with me and a very good friend of mine, as well as you know, the Murray clan runs pretty deep, although they did lose their oldest brother this year, rest in peace. They run about six or seven siblings in that family. There's a Brian Doyle.
Yes.
There's a Joel. There's several Murrays. Chad Michael, I'm not sure if he's related.
great reference, John.
So, that's great. So I believe one of their sisters was there that night. It was a party. It was very exciting. Chris Chelios was there. Eddie Vedder was there.
Damn.
Chicago royalty was out in force that night. And I was there with one of my managers who's from the South Side of Chicago, another friend of mine who flew in to see the game. And so it was a very celebratory evening, and I was wearing my hat, and people were singing and karaokeing and dancing. We're all in sort of the back outside space of a bar right near Wrigley. And Billy, who I had met on several occasions, and I wouldn't say that I know well, but I definitely know enough to say hi, said hi in a sort of a jubilant, dancing, excited way. And at the same time, said, "Get this goddamn hat off your head," and plucked it off the top of my head and kind of reverse tossed it over the wall into the alley. And then I watched it sort of sail into the night, and I thought, well, I guess I'll never see that again. And I followed it down, and I looked to the left on the wall that he had thrown it over, and there was a door to the alley. So I just opened the door, and I took three steps out and picked my hat up off the ground and put it back on my head and walked back into the party. Now,
that's fandom, sir. Yes.
The end of the story is even better because up to maybe a year or so later, and now this whole story has been, you know, printed in the Chicago Tribune.
Yes.
John Hamm is punking the Cubs by wearing a hat from the Cardinals. It's from the – none of this I knew. I just wore the hat because I thought it was cool. I got it on a photo shoot. So I'm hosting an event for the Make-A-Wish Foundation of Illinois, mm-hmm. based in Chicago. Now, I'm not from Illinois. I'm from St. Louis, but there's a friendly rivalry, yada, yada. Here we are. So part of the thing is a live auction. And so one of the things was I said I would auction off the hat,
yes.
that I wore to the World Series. You can blow it up like the Steve Bartman ball. You can run it over with a truck. You can give it to your friend from St. Louis. Whatever you want to do,
yes.
it's all for the kids. I'm very happy to do it. And I think it's sold for like $5,000 or $6,000. So
nice.
Somebody had in the audience had a real grudge against that hat, or is wearing it today. I don't know.
So I guess the moral of the story is that if your hat gets thrown off of your head by anybody, it could be comedy, film royalty, television, comedy, film royalty, or anyone, and it's thrown into some sort of Chicago street water stream, pick up the hat, put it back on your head, because it could make some money for charity. Right, John?
Exactly. You never, the moral of the story is you never know.
You never know. That's the story, and we give you a clap for that. It's wonderful. It's wonderful, especially since, again, the reason why you wore it is functionality. You needed a hat.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
What, are you going to go to a baseball game and wear a colonial tricorn? No, I'm going to wear a baseball cap.
Unless you're going to a Patriots game, you could do that and fire off a cannon or something like that.
I would never do.
You'd never go pitchy. John Hamm here on the Rich Eisen Show. I don't know how to make the turn. I'll just make it anyway. Wild Mountain Time is available in theaters and on demand this Friday. Christopher Walken, that had to be something. I know you're not in a lot of scenes with him, but that had to be quite something for you to be on a set with some royalty on that front, John?
Oh, yeah. We shot this movie in Ireland, in mm-hmm. County Mayo, Ireland, in a small town, near a small town called Ballina. Mm-hmm. Which, weirdly enough, is where Joe Biden's family is from.
Ah.
Back in the days. So they were very excited about recent events. But it was an amazing opportunity to get to work with not only Chris Walken, but a guy named John Patrick Shanley, who wrote and directed the film, who's written such films as Moonstruck, Joe versus the Volcano,
sure.
Doubt. He's one of my kind of heroes of stage and screen from a writer. And I've I just wanted to meet him and work with him forever, and it turned out the feeling was mutual when he offered me this part in this movie, and I thought, this is awesome because I get to work on the thing, then B, this is awesome because I don't have to do an Irish accent. So it was a win-win for me. But then I read the script, and it's based on a play called Outside Mullingar that I had seen a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
That I really loved, and I thought he did a great job of adapting the script, and it's basically like, you know, it's an old-fashioned movie. It's like it's a fable. It's a love story that takes place in kind of outside of time in this magical part of Ireland that's really quite fanciful and beautiful and funny and fun. But really, it's just, it's one of those rare things in the community today that just has no snark. It's just purely, it wears its heart on its sleeve and it's proud to do it. And so I've seen the film. It's very good. Emily Blunt and Jamie Dornan, who play the sort of star-crossed lovers at the center of the story, mm-hmm. are phenomenal in it. Dearborn Malloy and Chris Walken, as you mentioned, play the mother and father of the two leads mentioned previously, and they're phenomenal. And then it's cast with an amazing sort of cast of characters. Barry McGovern is in it, who people will recognize from a lot of John Patrick Shanley's movies. It's just a beautiful film. And it's like, for the holiday season, for what we've all been through for 2020, it is the perfect sort of tonic to when you sit down on the couch, or since no one can go to movie theaters, or maybe, I don't know if you rent a movie theater, but if you sit down on the couch and load it up, it's an hour and a half of your time that you'll be very happy to. You'll feel good after. I think we all need.
Available in theaters if you can, or on demand this very Friday, December 11th. John Hamm, this is as delightful as I hoped it would be, and I knew it would be, quite frankly. Thank you, Jonathan.
Oh, pleasure. Have a happy holiday. If I see you before then, my love to your family. And I don't know, go Jets. That'd be amazing, by the way.
Well, you better say that since you're the new defensive coordinator, John. I mean, you got to be all in. You got to be all in if this is it.
Here's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
When I take over this defense,
yes.
They're not a bad team, by the way.
Hmm.
When I take over this defense and start running it with some credibility, I'm going to get fired at the end of the season because we're going to end up losing Trevor Lawrence. We're gonna win out.
Yep.
We're going to bust out a bunch of people's suicide leagues.
Yep.
And I'm going to get fired.
Well,
because we're going to lose the number one pick.
There you go. There you go. The voice of two all or nothings saying it's nothing.
All or nothing.
That's it.
There you go.
It's nothing is what John Hamm is saying. Thanks for the call, John. You take care.
You got it. Great talking with you.
You'll be right back at you. That's John Hamm, Wild Mountain Time. Everybody check it out in theaters and on demand this Friday, December 11th. That's great. He is so funny, man.
Amazing.
God, he cracks me up. Okay, during that conversation, not one but two major sports stories, one from college football, one from professional football broke. One game has been canceled, and one quarterback's been benched. You can pretty much guess what the tease is, but we'll fill in the blanks when we come back on the Rich Eisen Show before Darren Waller and the actor Chris Sullivan from This Is Us joins us.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
Lace your boots. The Duttons are back. Yellowstone Season 3 starring Kevin Costner is streaming now exclusively on Peacock. Whether you're a newcomer to the ranch or a seasoned pro, you don't want to miss this epic season. Stream all three seasons now. Way to ride it, Mike.
I mean,
seriously, that's like Costner on horseback. You know, I went too fast.
Yeah, you had time on the back.
Can you recue that? Can you recue that, Don? I want to give it one more whirl. Would you mind? I think we got time to do it. Can you do it, Don? Here we go. The Yellowstone
promo. I need
a total
count that I can
do. No, it's all right. No. Just here we go. Lace up your boots. The Duttons are back.
Yellowstone Season 3, starring Kevin Costner, is streaming now exclusively on Peacock. Whether you're a newcomer to the ranch or a seasoned pro, you don't want to miss this epic season. Stream all three seasons of Yellowstone right now. All right.
Well done. That was better. Rich, you're a professional.
See ya.
Tear that thing up, Rich.
Sorry, we have more show.
I got some thoughts on the news of the day.
Rip that up like LeBron and throw it like confetti when you're done.
It looked terrible what I just did. Radio audience, hello. You missed two promos for Yellowstone right here on Peacock, which you can stream right now.
Yeah,
okay. Well, there are two hot stories right here. Do you want to just make this the quote-unquote news, or you have news later on? What do you want to do?
Entertain a trade to Philadelphia.
No, okay. So there's a hardened news later on we'll hit. Okay. And also, the Houston Texans have an interesting approach to hiring their new coach.
They do.
That we'll do that later on.
Okay. But two big stories during the John Hamm interview broke.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's just dress it up. Let's make it a news segment.
Oh, okay, cool.
Don Boo, do you have the opener? You have the opener here. Chris Brockman has got two hot news stories. We'll just dress it up because that's how we do here. Roll it, please. I didn't mean to surprise everybody.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
All right, Chris, which one do you want to hit first?
Which one do you want first, Rich? Do you want the college news or the NFL news?
Your dealer's choice. You're the dealer. You've got the button, if you will.
This weekend would be Michigan versus Ohio State. We've been talking a lot about it already. It is canceled. Michigan had an uptick in COVID cases this week and decided to cancel the game. Game is not being played.
Okay. So now it's time for the Big Ten to basically change their rules and basically say Ohio State can play for the Big Ten title.
Or let's have Ohio State play Texas A&M this weekend.
No, because the Big Ten doesn't cross streams. That's a rule. You can't just schedule whoever's. This isn't BYU Coastal Carolina.
But why not?
Because there's COVID protocols and there's rules.
All right. Just seems like it's a great opportunity to get this game played, which would be awesome.
If I'm Ohio State, I don't want any piece of look, it's all about competition. And this is just what's so silly about rules. And this is obviously a season unlike any other and one we don't ever want to see again. And honestly, I do not want to hear. I am not here for the whole Michigan's ducking Ohio State thing. Is anybody saying that out there? Is anybody saying that out there?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, because I will not entertain that. I don't want to entertain it. It should not be entertained. There is no way Michigan is using any sort of COVID-19 positive cases as a shield to avoid getting blown out. I don't want to hear it. So, and that's the unfortunate thing is that's been out there no matter because it was put out there, intimated by a highly well-respected and decorated analyst who then immediately apologized for it.
Right.
So, Ward Manuel, the Michigan athletic director, the number of positive tests has continued to trend in an upward direction over the last 7 days. The game against Maryland was canceled last week. Michigan has had more positives Monday after at least a dozen players tested positive last week. I mean, that's a wrap. That's it. And so Michigan's football season ends at 2-4 because there are no more games. I mean, I guess they can play whoever is in the same that's supposed to be what? The following week is when everybody in certain positions in one division plays the other division in the same. So, awful season. Just terrible.
Yeah, terrible.
But right now, Big Ten should sit down and say the rule that Ohio State hasn't played enough games to play for the Big Ten championship, that should be announced like tonight. They're changing it. Ohio State can represent the division in the Big Ten championship game against whoever comes from the other division. It would be Northwestern right now? Is that who it would be?
I believe so.
Okay, yeah. So whatever. Make that change. Make an announcement right now and rip that knob off. And it's the worst. It's the worst. Awful.
NFL news?
Yep.
Big game this weekend. Eagles-Saints.
Talked to Taysom Hill earlier this hour.
We did. Well, Eagles quarterback for that game. It's going to be Jalen Hurts. Doug Peterson's going with Jalen Hurts, benching Carson Wentz. He's going to be the backup now.
Okay. So there you go. And it is a pretty big assignment for Jalen Hurts.
Has he ever played a game in the Superdome? I bet he has. I don't know why I can't, you know, all these Alabama championship games have, you know.
None of them really in New Orleans.
What, has he played in Sugar Bowl, maybe?
Maybe. Let me take a look.
I bet you he's played in Superdome before.
He's from Houston.
Here's the rub, okay? And, it's a simple, I know the answer to it, but I'll ask it anyway. And it's low-hanging fruit, but I'll pick it anyway. And that's not because I do that for a living. You know, I don't like to hit the low-hanging fruit right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Tastes good, though.
Yeah, he was the MVP of the Sugar Bowl. He's played there before. He's got good memories. Tough assignment, as I said earlier in the first hour. Yeah. Taysom Hill, no matter how well he's playing, or Drew Brees is the GOAT, and Sean Payton is a mastermind on offense, and Michael Thomas caught 19 million footballs last year and 100 yards receiving last week, and Alvin Kamara is 100% owned in fantasy leagues for good reason. This is a defense first team, dressed up in offensive guru clothing. So good luck, Jalen Hurts, against this defensive line with that offensive line in front of you. But the low-hanging fruit is this, and the simple question is this. What took you so long? And I know the answer. It's finances.
$128 million.
Has to work out. They paid him an absurd amount of money. If Jalen Hurts balls out, doesn't even have to beat New Orleans, but balls out enough that you have to stick with him. If he comes close, if it's a near miss, if he doesn't...
Yeah, what are you going to go back?
You can't sit here and say, thanks for that one. Let's go back to Carson Wentz now at Arizona, at Dallas, home for Washington. I mean, don't you need to give him a few games here? But what took you so long? And I don't know what's going on in the front office. I don't know what's going on with Howie Roseman or Jeffrey Lurie, if he's pissed at everybody and this comes down from on high, or Peterson said earlier this week yesterday when he said, I haven't made a decision yet. And as Peter King pointed out on Monday, saying when a coach says, I haven't made a decision yet on Monday, it usually means he's going in the direction of the new quarterback, and that happened. And I don't know, Peterson said that it was his decision. It was going to be his decision only. And we assume maybe this is. And what took him so long? You got to see what this guy can do. And he is a dog, to use the phrase, of the new millennium. That's what he said he wanted to be for whichever team drafted him. When we had him on the show pre-draft, when he said that I have been through a lot, I want to lead. That's what I do. That's what he did in Alabama. He was stripped of his power by one of the most powerful coaches of all time, selecting a worthy successor, to say the least, in Tua. That's what happened when he went to Oklahoma, following up Baker Mayfield's seasons with Kyler Murray, following up with him, strolled into a new place and was terrific there. Looked terrific. Second overall selection in a spot that just would not turn him. Well, now it's finally his turn. And I think he's ready for it. I really believe it. I believe in this kid. And if you can't block, get somebody who's going to run away. And Wentz, Wentz has escapability too. I know it, but...
Yeah, but he's been sacked, what, almost 50 times?
It's time. It was time...
Weeks ago.
All right, let me just do this. Again, I'm not there. I'm not the coach. I'm not seeing what's going on in practice. I'm not the general manager who, with ownership's blessing and coach's blessing, signed Carson Wentz to a gajillion-dollar contract that they cannot get out of right now. And, you know, after they lost to the Giants, maybe? That could have been it. Right? Losing in Cleveland? I mean, the Seattle game looked terrible.
Seattle, yeah, for sure.
I mean, even early on in the season, I mean, it's still too early when they were still in first place to do it. I get it, but this thing seems like we're a month too late. And I think they're going to – look, this is the reason why I said they should have done this earlier. The worst-case scenario is you got a 20-some-odd million-dollar backup who in this league invariably is going to get in there. Look at Ryan Fitzpatrick. He was gutted when he lost his job. wound up getting some starts that are important, and I bet he might again. Drew Bledsoe, the year Mo Lewis blew up his innards. Who won the AFC Championship to put the Patriots in that Super Bowl that Brady won?
Rich.
Drew Bledsoe. Hold on. I mean, I could keep going on and on and on here about guys that lose their jobs and then come back and have to play important roles because that's the way it goes in the NFL. So is that's the worst case scenario. Hurts balls out, and then suddenly Peterson has a decision to make, or a new coach does. Because it's just not looking very good there.
I'm wondering if this kind of shields Doug Peterson from being fired, though.
I don't know.
If he sticks with Hurts and it just, you know, they lose out, then you get rid of him. But then he's, you know, his reasoning now is, hey, look, I gave the kid four games. Let me work with him. Let me develop him.
The rumor mill is churning. Every day I hear Peterson's out. Peterson's not going anywhere. Every day. One or the other.
Yeah.
I hear Peterson is definitely out. Look at him. Places that I've heard mentioned are still places that haven't fired coaches yet.
Right.
Or... No, they're not going to let him go. They'd be crazy to let him go. They're not going to let him go.
No, they won a Super Bowl.
Honestly, like I'm hearing all of that. I have no earthly idea.
Tough start, though, for Hurts, too. Saints number one, overall D, two against the run, four against the pass.
And you know what the worst problem could be for the Eagles? And this is where they did this too late, is the Giants and the Washington football team have caught fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Giants and the Washington football team, if you look at the NFC standings right now and all the teams that are sniffing it, all the teams that are in the wild card chase, they're playing better than them. Are the Giants and Washington football team playing more consistent football than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Yeah, they are. Are they playing more consistent football than the Seattle Seahawks? They are. How about the Arizona Cardinals, Minnesota Vikings? Oh, yeah. That's the problem for these Eagles with Jalen Hurts. You were in first place when you could have made this decision and caught fire and made sure the Giants and the Washington football team were in your rearview mirror. Not now. And Jalen Hurts, you pulled a trigger on the week where you're going to New Orleans? Wow.
Not easy.
Unfortunately, it's like, well, you know, I think this is past the expiration date, but you never know. You never know, especially when Philadelphia does finish up the season against the Washington football team. Could come down to that if the Giants falter. You know, and you look at the Giants next four games, there's some winnable games. Arizona comes to their house. How great is Giants hosting Cleveland going to be? Week 15. Nobody had that one circled.
No,
I'm circling it right now. How about Giants at Baltimore? The way that they have bottled up Russ last week, and they probably have the same game plan for Kyler this week. Now it's Lamar in week 16. Mm-hmm. And then they finish up the Giants against Dallas at home. These are the teams that Philadelphia's going to have to leapfrog to get in with Jalen Hurts. I think this might, if you will, Hurts, but it might be too late. But you never know. Happened. Wow. Carson Wentz benched. Had to do it. I mean.
Had to do it.
You saw it with your own two eyes. It was tough to watch, man. And Justin Jefferson's been killing it. That kid was on the board. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We've got two guests coming up as well. Darren Waller, fresh off of his 200 yards receiving for Whirlpool of Despair. And what's the name of your team, TJ Jefferson, that you have him on?
Best in the world.
Very good.
Right. Shout out to CM Punk. Right
there. Here you go. Best in the world.
Best in the world.
And he's of the Vegas Raiders. Who knew? Whirlpool of Despair, best in the world, Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah. You put them in order of importance.
And you want to talk about journey. You want to talk about stories. Boy, does he have one. And Chris Sullivan of This Is Us and also his new band, Joseph the Spouse, with a debut album. We'll talk with him, hour three, coming up. We're back here on Peacock as well.
Rich, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, what were you going to say?
Well, just a quick question, you know, because a lot of people, when it came to Wentz, start mentioning his contract
right.
and the money that he was owed. But you got to get to a certain point where you have to kind of charge that to the game, I think, and be like, look, if this guy isn't getting the job done, no matter how much you're paying him, you got to just chalk that up as an L and keep it moving.
Yeah, the problem is, though, is you cannot win football games in a world where the unfortunately the salary cap is going to contract. And you paid him that money thinking that the salary cap was going to go up. Now you don't even use him?
Yeah, but do you keep him in just based on that fact if it's not working?
Well, that's the whole point, is that there's a coach and there's a guy and the track record's been there. And he, you know, I can totally understand that they're looking at each other and saying this has to have turned around. It was just all slumps, you know, like somebody who's 0 for 40 is going to eventually go 1 for 41, you know, and just like how long can you stick with the 0-fers?
Yeah.
Certainly when it has to work financially. Again, like, you, how many backup? I mean, Taysom Hill was just on. Everyone was like, you're paying a backup quarterback 2 years, $21 million? That's insane. When you're paying your starting quarterback multiples of that for 1 year, how can you win? Yeah. Well, that's now the best-case scenario for the Eagles, it looks like. Darren Waller coming up.
Hey, this is JJ French. Through 5 decades in the music industry, having sold over 20 million records, performed over 9,000 shows, and receiving 37 gold and platinum albums as a musician, manager, and record producer, I'm also an author, motivational speaker, marathon runner, inductee into the Long Island Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, guitar collector, and a founding member of a little band you may have heard of called Twisted Sister. Now I'm ready to share the secrets of my survival in one of the most vicious and predatory businesses on earth, the music business. In my new podcast, The French Connection, the Music Business and Beyond on Podcast One. Get ready to hear real inside stories from me and my famous guests as they tell you how it's really done, not just in the music industry either. I guarantee that you will always learn something unexpected from successful survivors from many walks of life. That's the beyond part that I'm so excited about. Don't miss The French Connection, The Music Business and Beyond with me, JJ French, Tuesdays on Podcast One, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts.